can find out a little bit more. Thank you so much. Now, it helps if I turn your actual microphone on. There we go. It's so nice to have you in the studio. Oh, I am struggling with this term. Because I'm so excited. Like, genuinely, this album, we've been playing the tracks for a little while now.
Yes.
And we've been playing a few songs here on the station. And I feel like it's one of these albums that everyone has connected with. Oh. Every single person I've come across has loved this music. So I've got to know, because this is the question we always kind of throw around. What first piqued your interest in space? What was it that kind of started this journey for you?
I guess I've always liked space, kind of one of those things. I think a lot of people do. But I fell in love with like Cosmos, the TV show by Carl Sagan, and then the remake by Neil deGrasse Tyson. And then, you know, obviously Carl Sagan created the golden record.
Yeah.
And then I just became like so obsessed with it. And I've kind of got one of those personalities, and it's just such a romantic thing. I don't know. I just, then I heard the Radiolab podcast all about it that went really in depth about it all. And then I heard like the sample of Voyager 1 crossing into interstellar space. And I'd already used space samples in my debut EP. And then I was like, brain, idea. And then I was like, hello, NASA. How you going?
So take us to that moment of, hello, NASA, how are you going?
Yeah, I just was like, I'm going to email them and ask them for... So I'd come up with this idea of wanting to ask them for all the samples from the mission, because I'd worked out what I wanted to do by this stage. So then I emailed them and asked them for all of the samples from Voyager 1 in particular, because in 2012, Voyager 1 had crossed into interstellar space.
Yeah.
So then I'd worked out that I wanted to put Voyager 1's journey into the album. So I emailed them and asked them for everything, and they were like, hello, this is cool. all right. We can't give you everything, but we can give you the email of the guy that built the instruments on Voyager 1.
Oh my God.
And he collects all the radio and plasma waves that get turned into sound on Earth. So they give me the email of this guy, and I email him, and then he's like, oh, this is great. Here's everything you need. And he sends me everything. And I was like, oh, so many things to listen to.
What have I done? What were the emotions like when you got that?
I definitely cried.
Yeah,
100%. I'm a bit of a, like, I'm one of those people that I get very overwhelmed very easily. And I just, like, I don't cry very easy at certain things, but, like, emotions, I guess. But I get overwhelmed by, like, happiness, I guess, and things like that paying off, and I just cry at the drop of a hat.
I think that's wonderful.
And I definitely shed a lot of tears. Yeah, I do too.
I find it so cathartic.
Yeah, I definitely love putting on a, like a sad film deliberately just to like cry.
We're the same person. Yeah. I feel that. We are the same person. Did you find yourself, when you got this huge kind of file dump, I guess, of all these sounds, was it hard to focus? Did you go down the rabbit hole and just stay there for weeks?
Yeah, I mean... long time, because I did so much. I had to do so much research on first of all, before I even started listening to the sounds, I mapped out like Voyager's timeline and everything, because I wanted to work out. And then I did a lot of research on all the planets and everything, and what they are like and how they would kind of feel like, I guess. Because the tracking order of the album was so important as well in that sense, for what songs to put where, so what they would feel like. So then I went through and chose the samples, because there were so many from each planet. So like on the album, there's like a lightning storm on Jupiter and things like that. I mean, it was hard to find the right samples because there was just so much white noise as well. So you'd go through an hour or so something here, and then find like a little treasure within it that sounded really nice, and then you'd have to treat it or whatever. And then some of them you just left completely untreated because they sounded really nice.
I imagine it's like that kind of slow viewing phenomenon that people watch the Garn go through the middle of Australia for hours and hours and hours, the same listening
definitely
for you.
Sometimes you like throw your headphones off your head because it hurts so bad because they weren't nice sounds.
Was there
low volume all times?
Very low. Was there a plan B if NASA didn't give you the sounds, if you didn't get in touch with anyone?
Well, no, because a lot of NASA's stuff is free for use. So there was, I knew there was stuff online that I could have already used. So I could have done like a half-assed version of it. But, you know, there was stuff that, like, to pull it off the way I wanted to and make the album I really wanted to make, I needed all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
And there was, I've never even spoken about this, but there was one thing I really wanted to do that I couldn't get permission for because the person isn't alive anymore.
Oh no.
And they, before they died, they said that their stuff isn't allowed to be used in music in particular. So quite interesting.
What an oddly specific
thing. I know. Yeah, it's so sad.
Just
devastated.
A hater of music.
I don't know if it's a hater of music, but I just don't think they wanted it to be used constantly. Maybe they didn't want it to be overused. They just wanted it to be used within
Fair
science.
Enough.
But I was like, this is, I'm trying to like teach humans about your mission.
It's going
to
be a crossover, I promise. Yeah. It'll be great. So you had this journey of mapping everything out, going through these huge amounts of audio. How long did it take you to get to the final product?
Not too long. I think just over a year, I guess, of recording. Because like the recording and stuff didn't take long. Like we live tracked the album in 3 days, mixed it in about 2 weeks, and then mastered it. So the recording wasn't. It was more like the research and stuff that took the lengthy process and whatnot. The songwriting was just whenever something came out and whenever I felt like writing, that was just it. And then I'd take it to the band and then we'd develop the songs and whatever. But I don't know really. Not too long. I think like a year and a half.
Wow. Yeah. It would have been a fun journey though.
Yeah. So much fun. Yeah. I mean, very isolating at the same time because like, no one really wants to hear about it for a year and a half. So it's like, I felt like I didn't really have anything to talk to my friends about for a long time.
What
so I'll be like, what have you been up to?
What a great parallel with Voyager's journey though.
Yeah.
That it's
so
like
it's
this kind of like
nothing.
Floating along in kind of your own world.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's wild. So Voyager 1 has a golden record on it that is kind of like a little time capsule representing humanity when it launched in the 70s, which is fantastic. If you could have one song from the album on that golden record, what would you want out there?
Oh, I haven't been asked that. That's a good one. Oh, no. Oh,
it's
I
like
wish
pick
I
a favorite
this
baby.
Question.
It's like pick a favorite baby, but what do you think?
Oh, maybe like the most fitting one. Oh, God, that's so hard. What a question. Oh, I don't know. Maybe like the most fitting one could be something like Shame, in the sense of it's like us trying to find somewhere else to inhabit because we've destroyed our own planet. You know, we're destroying our own planet and we think that we'd be better off somewhere else.
Yeah. No, I think that one's a really good fitting one.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I don't know really. Or Overstage Your Welcome because it's about something simple. I don't, oh God, I really don't know.
All of them. We'll put all of them on there. It'll be
just
fine.
Put the album on there.
It'll be great.
It's on gold vinyl, so.
It'll work. It'll work really well. Now, speaking of the gold vinyl and the aesthetic of this album, the actual like physical aesthetic, it's stunning.
Thanks.
Did this happen kind of organically? Was this something that through the whole process you were like, this is what I want my album to look like?
I worked really hard with Stacey Gagoulis on this, on the artwork. We started by doing a couple of the singles, and they were rooms. So it started with Gun, which is a song on the album, and that was a room which was basically, and it had Voyager in the background going past a room which was a planet, and one of the stories, so it's like a, like the perfect meal for two is a line within the song, and it's Voyager going past that scene within the song on one of the planets, and then it's the next, and then the next one we released was the same. It was the song Mars, and it was like Voyager going past another scene on a different planet.
Yeah.
And then we were like, okay, so what are we going to do for the album? And we sat down and had some big conversations about it. And I knew by then that the album was going to be called The Grand Tour. And we were like, okay, so what could we do about this? And I came up, I really wanted like a train, like you were boarding something, like you were going on the Grand Tour. So then it was like, a train idea of like you could board it. You could literally go on this journey.
Yeah.
So then we just like got to go on this like cool little rabbit hole of like finding a cool train. And like I was really into like finding old trains, like, you know, like Harry Potter type style. Yes. And then like Stacey found this awesome train that kind of looked futuristic, which was, but was really old, from like the 70s,
oh, wow,
maybe even a bit older. Because that's not that old. But, you know, similar era. And he just nailed it. He's so brilliant. And all the colour scheme was really important as well. And just to get everything right. Like, he's just got such a beautiful eye. And we just, there's lots of little Easter eggs in there as well. Like, all the numbers. And, like, on the front, it's like Edward D. Stone is the project manager from Voyager. That's the signature on the ticket. There's like,
oh,
all,
wow,
yeah, there's like so many Easter eggs on it. So,
oh,
and it's,
God,
like Earth 3, you're like the third, you know, because there's two Voyagers, Earth 3 is on the ticket. It's like you're the third person to,
oh,
you know, the third voyage to
out
go
out into the world.
Yeah, you
universe
know, yeah, to go on that journey.
Oh,
so,
my
yeah
gosh.
There's all little Easter eggs.
That's
on it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, it's a beautiful album. Now, Bats is launching the album here tonight in Sydney for a Sydney launch at the Vanguard. It's available, you can buy tickets, I should say, at moshtix.com.au. The Grand Tour, it's available for downloading and streaming, kind of all around the place.
All the things. All the things.
Now, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. But before we go, we're about to hit play on a track from the album. It's called Shame. Tell us a bit about this album, this song.
Yeah, I guess earlier I was saying Shame is kind of about, I was just really sad about the world. It was during Trump and the plebiscite in Australia at the time.
Yeah.
And it was just my like angsty, it was a bit of a Britpop song, you know, just about, I was sad. I was just feeling, I just want everyone to be a bit kinder to each other and the planet and be better, you know.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, let's push play now. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.